wonderful opportunity of introducing our speakers. That's not me. I haven't moved. I have known Marilyn Dickerson for more years than you can imagine. Longer than some of you are even alive, I have known her that long. It's been 25 years, about. And we have been very good friends all those years. We've gone to visit them when they went down to Cuba. We went to see them in Tennessee because our families are tight, you know. We helped raise each other's children. We just love each other. This woman has a gift of teaching. She can open the word and it will be alive for you. I promise. So now, if you would welcome Marilyn Dickerson.
Okay, no pressure there. Okay, I need a little help from the women. How many of you were here the last time I was up here? Okay, I need you to help me with something. Was I wearing this?
Yeah.
I knew it! I turned to my husband this morning and I said, I said, I don't remember. Of course, this is the man who picks his stuff out 5 minutes before he gets dressed on a Sunday morning. Okay, all right. Don't wear it next time. One of my good friends, call and remind me. Now, see, I really only thought one or two of you would know. Oh, me. Yes. You know your type. And have a good relationship and a long-standing relationship when all of your friends know your wardrobe. Good morning. Well, we're going to do a little vegetables this morning. As I was considering what I wanted to share on this morning, the Lord just brought it to my heart that from time to time, the body needs to eat some vegetables. Sometimes you go too long without your vegetables. And this morning we're going to have vegetables. However, we are not going to have lima beans and stewed okra. No. I'm hoping it's going to be asparagus or artichoke heart. Steamed with dill, dipped in a garlic butter sauce. Okay, well, some of you may prefer the lima beans. We are going to talk about something today that many of you have probably struggled with for years, maybe even for the whole of your Christian life. When you're doing it, you feel encouraged, you feel strong, you feel hopeful. You feel expectant. When you're not doing it, you have a tendency to feel hopeless, discouraged, frustrated, irritated, and let down. Anybody got a guess what it is? Whoa! That's right! I didn't expect you to get that so quick. Yes, we are going to talk about prayer and meditation today. But we're not going to talk about all categories of prayer because, frankly, there's several different types. Those of you who are intercessors know that that is a category unto itself and different. Today, we are going to talk about practical prayer, practical meditation, the rubber meets the road kind of practical prayer and meditation that can change your life. practical. I'm big on practical. If it's not practical, what good is it? In our recent fast, how many of you guys participated on some level in the church-wide fast that we did? Oh, excellent. I heard all different types of fasts. I talked to a lot of different people. Everybody did something a little bit different. One of the things that I did, because I'm a vegetarian, I basically lived the Daniel fast, so that was out for me. So I had to do something else, and I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, what can I do that will draw me close to you? And he told me, of course, the first two things that I least of all wanted to hear. And that was, he told me to quit watching TV and to not listen to secular radio stations. So I said, okay, Lord, that'll get my attention. Yeah, that'll get my attention. I'll do that. I'll give you the 40 days and I'll do that. And I'll just tune in on the things that will refresh me, that'll clean me up, clean me out, that'll inspire me in faith. And so I went around collecting tapes and stuff to listen to in the car because I am one of those radio cruisers. You guys know that about me. Cruise for the next song I like, and I sing it at the top of my lungs. And so I didn't have that. So I went around collecting tapes, and one of the tapes that I listened to was by a guy named Wesley Campbell. Have any of you guys ever heard of him? Wesley Campbell. Well, he spoke at the last Signs and Wonders conference in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the Chess Chavez Church. And as I was listening to this guy talk, I mean, it was very anointed, but I'm thinking, I do that. You know, I'm just listening to every point. And I realized that I had been doing it for a while, and nobody had taught it to me but the Holy Spirit. It had just come naturally to me in the Holy Spirit. And the thing that really impressed me was that his wife spoke the next day, and I listened to her tape, and her testimony was that while he had fought through to this understanding of prayer with the Lord over several years, she had been doing it for years and years and years and years and years. And when he found this out, he said, "Why didn't you tell me about it?" And she said, "Well, because I thought everybody did it." It had never even occurred to her to share. So he had to get it the hard way, which isn't necessarily bad all the time. But it occurred to me, here is something that we are doing, some of us, that the rest of you don't know about. And if we keep it to ourselves, then you don't know about it and you have to get it the hard way. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, one of the reasons that we have trouble with prayer and that we neglect it is because we just don't understand it. We don't understand what it is. We don't know how it works. We don't understand how the family across the street can be praying for one football team while the family in my house is praying for the other football team. And how can God sort that out because they're both godly families? Yeah, I don't understand that. Does anybody in this room understand prayer? That's what I thought. No courage. Phil Gild, would you like to come up and share with us? We don't understand it. And so we have a tendency to shy away from it. We have a tendency not to do. I remember early on in my Christian walk as I was endeavoring to understand this thing called prayer. And I remember promising God that I was going to pray every day. I was going to pray an hour every day. And I remember I got my Bible and I got my three translations of my Bible, and I got my notebook, and I got my marker, and I got my timer, and I sat down. And I was only doing an hour. I got my timer, and I prayed. And the timer hadn't moved. So I prayed for the missionaries in Africa, and I prayed for the missionaries in the Philippines, and I prayed for my grandmother and my sister and my brother and my mother and my father and my aunts and my uncles and my dog and my cat. And the timer hadn't moved. So I tried to pray some more, and I tried to pray some more, and I tried to pray some more.
I tried to pray some more.
Then I got sleepy.
And I started to daydream.
And I got bored. And I realized I'm boring the God of the universe. And so that ended my quest to pray for an hour every day for a long time. Sometimes we just don't understand it, so we shy away from it. I love what Wesley Campbell had to say about God. He said, prayer is especially frustrating to God. God is like to see movement. They want to build stuff. They want to take dirt out of this here hole and put it on that there mound. And then they want to get some boards and they want to nail them around the mound. Build something. And then they want to say, hey, pay me for this here dirt I put over there on that mound and put sticks around. That's how they're put together. So when you get them in a room alone, and they don't know what to say, and they start to daydream, they feel like, this is not productive. What am I doing here? And they give up. Is that accurate? Women, on the other hand, have a tendency to be able to just talk and talk and talk and talk. Well, until they start to daydream. So today we are going to talk about some practical steps which will aid us in praying the kind of prayer that we want to pray to change our life. And I'm actually going to do something today that I very rarely do. I'm going to give you steps. Now the first question you might need to ask is, how often do I have to do this thing? It's a good place to start. Okay, God, how often do I have to do this prayer and meditation thing? Well, the scripture says that we should meditate day and night. What does that really mean? Anyone? All the time? Pray all the time? Any other answers over here? Pray constantly. Okay, now how many of you really believe that? Okay, well, let's see. You go to work and the phone is ringing and your coworkers are walking in and they're giving you work and they want you to do stuff. Can't pray and meditate all the time there. You get in trouble with the boss. Let's say you homeschool your children. You can't pray and meditate while you're homeschooling your children. Okay, Margie can. Reality is that unless you're a monk in a monastery, you cannot pray and meditate 24 hours a day. Come on. Right? Okay. Practicality. It's nice to speak in religious terms, but practically speaking, we cannot meditate day and night. Now, historically speaking, back in the old days, the Jews did have a practice of meeting couple, three times a day. In the original language, meeting day and night means literally meeting day and night, once every 12 hours. Why? Because it's hard to backslide in 12 hours. Now, I'm not trying to build a doctrine here. No doctrines. We're building no doctrines here this morning. But I am going to say that it would be very beneficial if God could see your face just once in a 24-hour period. Just see your face. Step number one. Show up. Okay, now, most of us don't have a time in our day if we're struggling with prayer. I know there are a number of you here who do have a set time in your day, and wonderful. That's the most important thing. Set a time. I mean, but if it's not on your day timer, if it's not in your schedule, if it's not in your routine, then you're probably not doing it. Am I right? Because we have routines. We have things that we do every day. Now, I personally have struggled with the setting a time issue in my life. And I had a whole new refreshing during the fast. I mean, I'm one of those people that's a morning person. By the time I get home from work in the afternoon, my brain has stopped. Right, honey? My body is done. My brain is done. We are not thinking any more deep thoughts for the day. It's just done. But in the morning, I'm good. And so I had my schedule. I had my routine. In the morning, I would get up. I would exercise. I would get ready for work. I would go to work. I would watch the news. I would get up current with what was going on. And that was my routine in the morning. And then came the fast. And I wasn't allowed to watch the news in the morning. So I'm sitting on my exercise bike, and I'm riding my bike, and I'm just sort of, and I think, oh, I can read, because I have this great bike that has a little thing on it where you can put the book. Oh, what do I read? Oh, I can read the Bible. So I put it up there on the little bike, and I start writing, and lo and behold, all of a sudden, I have a time in my day where I can read the Bible every day at the same time. Who knew you could do that both? I mean, exercise and do the Bible. Who knew that? I didn't know that. I've been praying for months. God, show me when I can meet with you on a regular basis. My box was very small. And then when I found out I could do both, I was like, wow. My box got bigger. Now, I'm not making the supposition that you should do what I do, because that obviously won't work in your life. But those of you who are having difficulty setting a time, your box is too small. If you pray and ask God, He will show you where you can put it in your routine. You may not see it right now. Your focus may be too small. Your box might be too small. But if you pray, I am absolutely confident that He will enlarge your box and show you where you can do it. Set a time. But the most important part of that is show up. You got the time, now show up. Now, there's a lot of things that we do in our life based on how we feel about it. And unfortunately, we tend to relegate being with the Lord to that part of our life. But there's a lot of other things that we do in our life because we decided to do them, because we're committed to do them, because we just do them because we have to do them. Right? You know, when I get up in the morning on a Monday morning, I don't roll over and turn on my alarm clock and say, gee, I wonder if I'm going to go to work today. It's already decided. It's a done deal. I'm going to work, whether I feel like it or not. You know, when I get up in the morning and turn out the alarm and roll back over, I don't say to myself, gee, am I going to get up and exercise today? I don't really feel like getting up and exercising today. It's not a choice for me. It's a decision. I've already decided. I decided it the night before. I'm going to get up the next morning. I'm going to exercise. It's not a choice in the morning. It's already been made. It's something I do. And being with the Lord is one of those kinds of things. It shouldn't be a feel-like thing. It's a choice, like going to work, like going to school. Now, if you can get that into your thinking, and when you get up in the morning, you show up with the Lord, whether you feel like it or not. Show up first, feel like it later. Show up first, be inspired later. Show up first, the Holy Spirit shows up later. That's how it is. You hardly ever feel like it beforehand. Do I hear an amen? The number one reason why people don't pray is that they don't know how. And if you want to understand how to pray, it helps if we understand why we pray. We pray because the Lord has led us to believe that we are precious to Him and wants to have a love relationship with us. You want to turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy 6, chapter 4. Deuteronomy 6, chapter 4, chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And I want you to notice, immediately following the command to love him with all our heart, all our mind, and all our strength, he said, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The fulfillment of the commandments talked about in this particular scripture, those are begun by talking to God, which is what prayer is. All love relationships are sustained and grow through communication. Where there is no communication, there is no current relationship. That's a fact. You might have a relationship based on the past, but a thriving current relationship comes from communication. That's why we pray. Step number two. Step number one was show up. Step number two, be sure that you are praying. There are times when I approach the Lord and I am whining and I am complaining and I am frustrated and I am irritated and I am worried and I have launched at him. There will be no communication. This is a one-way thing. I'm telling you how I feel. I don't want to hear what you have to say about anything. Now, you may not verbalize that. Sometimes when we approach the Lord, we're simply verbalizing the state of worry that's in our lives. Just praying out of our own worry. That's not really prayer. Prayer is communication. Meditation is communication. So when you show up to pray, make sure that you're praying to him, not at him. That communication is going to take place. That you set your heart on that. Now, step number three. Know what to pray to God. Once you've established who you're talking to and what you're going to communicate with him, you need to make sure that you're talking the same language. Because, you know, he speaks the language of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, we're just talking flesh. Two different languages. Two different mindsets. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We need to learn to speak the language of the Spirit so that we can express our hearts to him. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man, except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. That is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught us by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. We have to be able to speak the same language. If we're not speaking the same language, we're not going to get what we're asking for. And God is not the one with the translation problem. That would be us. For example, have you ever asked God for humility or patience? That was before you understood the actual mechanics by which humility and patience were delivered unto thee. See, when you asked for it, you weren't visualizing the same thing God was visualizing when you asked for it. Right? Now, I had the opportunity, because my husband was in the military, to live in both Spain and Japan. And while I was there, in both of those countries, I had the opportunity to learn to function in another land, to function in another language. And I got proficient enough to have all of my daily needs met and to have a few conversations that were beyond just the weather and where's the bathroom. I was able to function well enough. However, even as I was speaking the language, I was still just speaking the language as your basic Texan. I was a Texan speaking Spanish, and I was a Texan speaking Japanese. It did not bring me any closer whatsoever to an understanding of their culture, to an understanding of their mind and their history and their heart and their soul. And the reason for that is because, as neat as those languages are, they have no inherent power in them. They're just words. They're just words of communication. And no matter how much I spoke Spanish or Japanese, it did not make me a Spaniard or a Japanese person. I was still just a Texan speaking their language. Well, not so with the scripture. It's an entirely different thing. The word of God is living and is inherent with power. Hebrews 4:12-16. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, your soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrows, and of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in some good time for every need. It is a living language, unlike every other language on our earth. The spiritual language of God is alive. It has power to change your soul. So still talking about step 3, our first job is to go to the source of the spiritual language. Seek to find revelation and gain meaning of that language for ourselves. And finally, to appropriate the life that is inherent in it to transform us in His likeness. Thank you so much, Pastor. I appreciate that. Now, where are we going to find spiritual words? I know. How about the Bible? How many of you have some sort... No, don't raise your hands. Never mind. I don't want to know how many. If you're going to set a time with the Lord, if you're going to show up, if you're going to learn the spiritual language, it's helpful for you to have a text. And it's helpful to have a text that you can use every day. Now, I'm not selling this, but I borrowed this from my boss, Timothy, here, because I was looking for a steady, I don't have to think about it every morning, I just get up and do it, source. And this is a really good resource. That what it does is it takes the Bible, it gives you a date, and every single day, you, without thinking, without waiting for inspiration, without anything other than you've made your decision, you do it, you get up, you open it for the date that you're on, it gives you an Old Testament reading, it gives you a Psalm, it gives you a Proverbs, and it gives you a New Testament reading. And you open it up and you pray, here I am. Okay, I'm here. I showed up. I'm ready. It would be nice if you would anoint it. It would be nice if I saw something in here today. That would be good. I would like that. And then I pray. I read. Joshua 1:8 says, "Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, every 12 hours, so that you may be careful to do everything that's written in it." And he says to meditate. This book is full of prayers. It's absolutely full of prayers. If you want to speak the spiritual language of God so that you can see your life changed on the inside, why not use His words? Duh! You want to learn a language, you use the words of the one to whom it belongs. Then you look for revelation, you look for insight, and in this case, because it's a living word, you look for it to change your soul. Now, practically speaking, in a practical manner, how do you do it? How do you find the prayers in the Bible? Because, you know, there's a whole lot of the chronological blah, 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 blah. Well, I really found inspiration when a pastor had us reading the book of James. I know everybody got postcards saying, "We're reading the book of James. This is what we're doing this week. These are the questions you should ask yourself." I really got so much out of that. And because I'm a teacher, I have to be careful. I can't have to read translations when I'm just reading for me and God. I have to read translations that aren't like study Bibles, because then I start thinking about all the good rabbit trails I can run down. So I find a good translation that just reads. And I really like this one. I don't know if you guys like it or not. This is a message. Because it takes me out of the teacher's mode and puts me in the learner's mode. And so I went to the book of James, and I had my highlighter. And I was doing this just naturally. Nobody taught me to do that, except the Holy Spirit. And I took my marker, and as I was reading for the day, I would just mark the passages that pinged my spirit. I read my assignment for the morning, and then I went back for the ones that pinged my attention, and I turned them into prayers. It's really easy to do. Let me just see if I can give an example. James chapter 1. "Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. For you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely, but let it do its work so that you can become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. And if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help, and He'll give His help." Well, I highlighted that passage, and then I prayed it back to God. "Oh, God, let me consider it a gift when tests and challenges come at me from all sides, because I know that when I'm under pressure, You are revealing the true state of my faith life. I appreciate the fact that You're forcing it into the open and showing me my real heart. God, please don't let it try to squirm out of this prematurely, but let me stay the course. Let it do its work so that I can become mature, so that I can become well-developed, so that I will not be deficient in any way. You know I don't know what I'm doing, so Father, I am asking You to help me, and I know that You'll give me Your help." It's easy. The New Testament is full of this. The letters of the apostle are full of this. It's just simply a matter of sitting down, taking your marker, marking the words that the Holy Spirit eats you with, and then when you're done with your Bible reading, pray them back to God, so that the words can have an effect on you. Now, this gentleman that I listened to, Wesley Campbell, has actually put out a book, and I'm not here to sell anybody's book, but I was very impressed with it. It's called The Book of Prayers. And basically, over the years, he had so many people ask him, "How do you find the prayers?" that he actually went through and took what God had revealed to him. And he had showed that there were the eight categories of prayers in the Bible. There's the theophanies, which are the God visions, the psalms, the prayers of wisdom, which are the Proverbs, the Song of Solomon, the prayers of the prophets, the prayers of Jesus, the apostolic prayers, and the hymns of the Revelation. And he put them all in categories, did a little teaching about each one of them. And you can just go through here any day, pick it up, and read God's own words back over your life. Now, I personally recommend the first method because it's personal. God can talk to you that way. But if you need a little help getting started so that you understand how it works, then maybe you should consider looking in. I'm sure this is not the only book out on the market like this, but I was very impressed with it. Okay, step four. We're moving along. Pray out loud. Okay, I'm not going to build a doctrine on this, all right? That's not what we're doing here. However, if you pray out loud, then you're less likely to daydream. Because when you're talking, it's hard to think about something else. Unless you're really talented. I myself am not that talented. When I'm talking, I'm pretty much paying attention to what I'm saying. And you know, this is actually supported in Scripture. In Joshua 1:8, where it tells us to meditate on the word, the original word in the Hebrew language is haggah, which means to murmur, to speak, to talk, to utter, to roar, to mutter. All oral presentations. To ponder, to imagine, to meditate, to mourn. The same word that's used in Psalm 64:3. So I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My whole being shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches. Talking out loud. David, that's what David did. That's what he specialized in. In Psalms 119 and 143, the word siach is used. And it means literally to ponder, to converse with oneself, and hence aloud. To commune, to declare, to meditate, to muse, to pray, to speak, to talk. I anticipated the dawning of the morning and I cried in childlike prayer. I hope in your word. My eye anticipates the night watches and I am awake before the cry of the watchman that I might meditate on your word. Some of our most favorite prayer verses use the word prosuke, which in the original Greek means to pray earnestly as an oratory. It's the same word used in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer. Acts 1:14, continue with one accord in prayer. Acts 12:5, but prayer was made without ceasing. Acts 6:4, give yourselves continually to prayer. 1 Peter 4:7, therefore be sober and watch unto prayer. These were all oral presentations. They did it out loud. I mean, what did you think that when the original law came down, it was written on a rock. These people did not have libraries where they had rocks and scrolls in their home. You know, when this was written, they went to the synagogue, and if they were lucky, their synagogue had a scroll. And the men would go, and it would be proclaimed audibly, and they would memorize it. You know, it had a memorization hook written into the language so that it flowed. And they could get the beat of it. And they could memorize it. They get it, and then they go home. And they say, hey, honey, hey, kid. And they sit down, and they do it at home. And they memorize it, and they sing it, and they talk it, and they chant it. That was how they communicated the Word of God. That was how they meditated on the Word of God. They didn't have vast libraries at home with six translations of Bible. They prayed it out loud. They spoke it out loud. When you talk out loud, you're using your mouth to lasso your mind to affect your spirit where it can touch your soul. That's why it's good to pray out loud. You want me to say that again, Chris? They use their mouth to lasso their mind to affect their spirit so it could change their soul. Next. There is one thing that if you're a teenager or older in this room today that you do every morning. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your profession is. I don't care about the difference in your schedule. If you're a teenager or older, you do this every morning before you leave home. Can anybody guess what that is? Not everybody brushes their hair. I've seen them. What'd you say? Well, we would hope. Thank you. But as I say again, not all do that. I heard it down here. Look at yourself in the mirror. We all look in the mirror. Because we want to make sure that that big glob of toothpaste is not hanging off the side of our mouth. Or that the toast that we had this morning is not stuck on your upper front tooth. Or you want to make sure that your shirt tail is tucked in all the way around, or that what you're wearing actually matches. Does this make me look bad? God wants the same thing from us. He wants us to look in the spiritual mirror every morning or every day, wherever it is in your day. He wants us to check ourselves out in the spiritual mirror. James chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. But act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like." I had a really interesting picture come to me the other day when I was praying. I saw myself looking in a mirror, but this mirror was unique in that it already had my image etched into the glass. I mean, you've seen glass that has etchings on it, right? Well, it was like that, except it was me. But it didn't just reflect my physical features. It also reflected my character, the way God wanted it to be, His end result and goal for me. And as I walked up to the mirror and looked in the mirror, I could see where my real-life, right-now image lined up with the etched mirror figure. And, you know, you kind of line it up, you know, trying to get it to line up just right. So I could see where the blemishes were. I could see where things were not quite in alignment, maybe in this part of my character or that part of my character. And the most fascinating thing about this mirror was that as I looked into it, I could speak God's words. And over a period of time, just like with exercise, I could see my physical come into alignment with the spiritual desires that the Father has for me. That's what the Word of God can do. If you look in the mirror every day, pray living spiritual words over yourself, and allow the Spirit of God to bring the reflection that you are into the reflection that He wants you to be, the reflection of His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's His character that we want formed in us. And the one who's holding the mirror is full of love, full of encouragement, full of hope. It's like a skinny mirror. You know what I'm talking about, ladies. You go to try and close. You check out the mirrors before you go in. That mirror, that mirror, that, ooh, skinny mirror. The girls know what I'm talking about. It's like a skinny mirror. He's so full of love and grace and encouragement and hope. And He draws you, and He talks to you, and you commune with Him. And the word of life changes your character. Now, having done all that, the last step, now you can go silent. You know, once you've got some word in your spirit working, you've given him an opportunity to speak to you in his word, you've given him an opportunity to ping something specific into your heart for that day, you've prayed out loud the word of God over your life, you've got something in your mind reservoir for him to work with, then you can go silent. Then you can wait to hear back from him. Then you can be quiet without daydreaming or falling asleep. And just listen. And then ask him what he has to say. There is a direct correlation between teaching ourselves to meditate on the Word of God, seeing it with our own spiritual eyes, and then actually being able to be obedient to it. So, here's our step. Set a time. Show up. The most important step of this whole thing is show up. Just show up. Show up. Pray the Bible. Pray out loud. Look in the mirror. Then go silent and listen to him and ask him what you hear. Would you stand, please? Louise, where are you? Okay. I understand you have some words you want to share. Why don't you come up and be ready, and then we'll do that in just a minute. Now, I really believe that when the Lord brings a word like this, he brings it for a purpose. That there are people here today who have been struggling with this area of your life, and the Lord has spoken to you, and he wants to encourage you that, yes, it can be different. That, yes, this time things can be different. And I want to encourage you to spend a little time with him at the altar today. If you need to bring yourself up to date, you know, have a little chat with him, talk about things that have been going on in your life, get up to date, and then talk with him about this issue and move on. And I want to encourage you not to miss the opportunity. Don't just walk out thinking you'll do it later. Take hold of the time today and talk to him about it. There are some of you here today who have just been discouraged by what's going on in your life and you just want somebody to pray with you. I want to encourage you to come up forward. We're going to have Louise up here and you're going to have your team up here in a minute. But why don't your team go ahead and come on up? Whoever's on Louise's prophetic team. I'm sorry, Rhonda's team. You can go ahead and make your way forward. And you may be here today and you don't know the Lord at all, but you feel drawn today. Your spirit is drawn to him and you want desperately to change, to start over. If you want to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your life today, I want to invite you to come forward. And if you would, you can meet with this gentleman over here who's standing to the left and he will pray with you and you can accept the Lord today and walk out of this place changed. I understand that you have a few words.
First, the Lord wants to speak to all of you to let you know that he's aware that there's been a lot of tenderness in your relationships, that it may not be big things, but just little things, but they're, you know, that splinter under the skin, and that he would like to comfort you and minister to you and give you grace to work through your relationship at this point before it becomes a plank under your fingernail. And he's aware that along with that, there's a fair amount of emotional pain, and the Lord would like to just minister to you on the level of your emotions and the pain that you're dealing with. He wants you to know that he's aware of what you're going through and cares about that. And then I have some people to speak to. Tom Moore, Bob Guild, Millie Norris, Al, and Teresa.
Okay. Thank you. Peggy, are you here? Do you have anything further this morning? Okay, good. All right. We're going to bow our heads and we're going to pray one of Paul's prayers over ourselves this morning out of Ephesians chapter 1. I keep asking that the Lord God, Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realm. Amen and amen. If you want to do some business with the Father, I want you to step out of your seats and come forward now. If you are just need to fellowship with the body, I ask that you would do it outside the double doors. Let's leave this area free for the Lord to work with whoever wants to talk with him. If you go ahead and put on some soft music so we can,
you know, Jesus said in Matthew 11,
pray.
Come on to me.
Thank you.
You have the word from love.